This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Sorry, I was stifling a burp.
Oh, well, thank you for not burping directly into the microphone as you were wont to do.
And we were too far into the show to start over at that point.
Yeah. I'm Tim. You coughed over it or something. You stifled a burp over it when I wasn't going to introduce myself.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad you were...
Do you want to just do the thing? We'll get it clean. Ready?
Do what thing?
Start from the top.
Okay. Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I am one of the hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim. Tom, you seem unsure about that. I am one of the hosts.
Yeah, well, because...
Just say one of your hosts.
It's one of those things when you hear it too many times, it sounds weird.
Or just make it automatic. You've been doing it for 10 years.
Well, I think I'm hoping that I'll start by saying I'm one of the hosts, but by the end of the episode, you'll feel like I'm one of your hosts.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like we have a duty to kind of welcome people in.
Mm-hmm.
We are the hosts.
Yes.
But we are also your hosts, not you, the listener.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're welcoming you to our communal table.
Yeah.
So we want to guide you through, well, I guess it's right in the name, guide to everything, I guess.
Tim, you're figuring all this stuff out now. Why do you think I have meticulously crafted that intro?
Yeah, wow. You're doing a great job. I just don't think you need to change it from your to the.
Okay.
I wish we hadn't started talking about this because now we're done talking about it.
Yeah.
And we have nothing else to say.
I guess that's it for this week. No, I've got something to say, Tim. I had I screwed up big time.
What else is new, right?
No, this is...
Right? Right, folks?
This is...
This is when we're the hosts and we have, you know, everybody's here is at our communal table. I'd elbow the listener. What else is new, right?
Yeah. And I'd be like, you son of a bitch, I saw that.
Yeah. And then you'd turn on them. And
yeah, I'd be like, what else has he told you, listener?
And I've told them a lot, about you. Your predilections.
Start singing. Predilections. Start telling me what he told you. I'd be
all right.
Throttling them. I went to buy my soda the other day, and what?
You used my.
Yeah.
Why not just a soda? Do you have a regular soda?
Yeah, I have a regular soda.
How many? Is this like a daily soda?
No.
Is it an hourly soda?
I went to buy a case of it.
Okay.
I went to buy my soda. And my soda...
It's for nobody else. I won't share this case with anybody.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. Like, I don't know. I will, but I also know, like, I'm going to drink that case long before anyone's coming over.
You encounter another person?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that case is going to be gone by tomorrow. Nobody's coming over tonight.
Case what, 24?
12.
Okay.
Half a case, I guess.
Well, now we're getting somewhere.
But I went to buy it, and my soda of choice these days is Coca-Cola Zero Sugar.
Right.
Very
European. No, they're just Coke Zero, right?
No, they changed their name everywhere to Coca-Cola Zero Sugar.
Okay.
Because Pepsi did it right after them, like the cowards that they are.
Whatever. So there's no sugar and there's some other poison that makes
it
sweet.
Yeah, there's like a poisonous chemical in there that tricks your brain into thinking it's sweet.
Okay. I follow.
But you know what? I got too casual maybe with my shopping.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't paying enough attention. I bought a case of cherry Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper, good soda. Cherry Dr. Pepper, Look, it's the same thing as a bacon cheeseburger. You think it's going to be good, and it's fine.
Yeah.
But, like, it's less than the sum of its parts. I love cherries. I love Dr. Pepper.
Mm-hmm.
Cherry Dr. Pepper. Don't
waste
my time.
It's way too much. Like, it's a lot. Like, the first time I drank
it. Too sweet?
Yeah. The first time I drank it, I was like, whoa. Like, did they change the formula here? They didn't change the formula. They changed the box to look like a Coke Zero box.
Your attention to detail.
What?
That is alarmingly bad.
What?
That you went in to buy a specific brand of soda, and you went in with one... Look, I hate that, but you had one job, and you bought the wrong soda. It's very clearly marked.
No, I bought a couple of things. One of the other things I bought, actually, after our episode about microwave dinners last week, I bought a microwave dinner.
Hungry Man?
Yeah. They were all out of Man Pleaser, so I had to get a Hungry Man. I ate that for lunch today. Jesus. Oh, God, it was garbage. Like, I would have rather have just...
Who would have thought?
Like, eaten flour out of the bag or something for calories than this thing. And then you look at the back, and it's like, this thing's so bad for you.
You had enough calories to last the week. Now you don't have to eat another one of those for another 7 days.
It's not so much even the calories. I don't think the calories were like that. They were crazy for how small it was. But it was more like saturated fat and sugar, not sugar. But yeah, I think sugar too. And
yeah,
like
you're buying the
salt.
Zero sugar soda.
Yeah, I gotta get somewhere.
You're getting, yeah. What was the meal?
It was fried chicken and macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, you're not gonna get good fried chicken from a microwave.
Yeah, well, this is just. I don't know. I thought it'd at least be like close to fast food quality. It was like several.
You live so close to a Popeyes, Tom.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't in the mood for fried chicken.
Well,
I was
then
in the
that's your first.
I was
mistake.
In the mood for a microwave dinner.
Oh, just
that's
the
what
genre
I wanted. Why? You know what?
Gray slop.
We had done all that research last week, and I said to myself, time to test this theory on myself.
Yeah. Actually, Tom, full mm-hmm. disclosure, after that episode, you and I and Marika went to Whole Foods,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't see you buy a microwave dinner there.
It wasn't. And I told you, it was the other day. It wasn't that night.
Well, then, I don't know. I don't see why you still had the craving.
It had been, running in my mind.
Okay.
Stirring. I think it was probably what I was thinking about when I screwed up and bought this. You know what? I'm so stupid. I saw the Dr. Pepper logo on the box, and I thought it was an advertisement for Dr. Pepper.
What? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. What?
Because otherwise it was identical to the Coke Zero box.
Except for the logo. Well,
I thought like Times
showing
Must...
you exactly what was in the box.
Look, I thought Times Must really be tough at Dr. Pepper. They're trying to push it on other boxes.
Is Dr. Pepper and Coca-Cola the same parent company?
I believe so,
okay,
yeah.
And then
I know so because my famous story about the time I worked for Coca-Cola for a day.
Mm-hmm. And you got unceremoniously fired.
I think I failed the drug test, which, like, I don't do drugs, but I think that was, like...
I think that was their excuse. They thought you were a little too square. You're not cool enough.
Oh, I almost broke my foot. I think that might have been another reason why. The guy, when we were... I had to go in stock. I wasn't looking to work there as, like, a flavor tester or something, although I had asked...
This was just the distribution.
This is just distribution. This would be working on a truck, unloading sodas during college.
You're not cut off. You're not cut out for truck work.
I'm cut out for soda work, though.
Yeah. No, you're cut out for testing the flavor. Not even testing the flavor. If they're like, we need a guy to drink a lot of soda. Yeah. But like, if you need any kind of expertise or attention to detail, you're not the guy.
Well, I was blown away when we got in there because with the first supermarket we go to, we're heading down the aisle. Who's at the end of the aisle? The Pepsi guy. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to fight on my first day. That's probably like what
immediately crack all your knuckles.
No, I sucker punched the Pepsi guy while he was from behind while he was unloading a pallet. No,
picked up a big can of soup and just smacked them over the head.
I, brand loyal. I picked up a can of Coca-Cola. when we were done, the Coca-Cola guy was like, "I'm gonna put my business card." They have business cards. I put my business card behind the first box of Diet Dr. Pepper. I guarantee it's gonna be here still when we come back, like weeks from now.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, fuck Dr. Pepper. And he was like, "Hey, no cursing."
Yeah, that's why you got sacked.
He was like, "He didn't go to medical school for 7 years to have some punk like you tell him to F off."
It's true. I heard Diet Dr. Pepper tastes more like the real Dr.
That's
Pepper.
That's horseshit. That's just marketing.
I don't know. I've heard that's true.
Where'd you read that? The side of a Coke Zero box? All right, Tim, enough soda talk.
Yeah, just full disclosure for the listener, we were going to do a different topic today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I started preparing, then Tom blindsided me, wanted to do a classic Tom topic.
How much had you prepared?
A lot.
Show me your notes.
They're all up here, and I'm pointing to my head for the listener.
Oh, wow, but he has a few notebooks balanced on his head, and they are full of notes.
About Instagram, yeah. the topic we were going to do today.
Wow, all right, well, I take it back.
And then you called an audible. You were like, oh, the new Predator movie is coming out.
Yeah.
I must talk about Predator.
Yeah.
I've only seen one Predator movie,
mm-hmm.
Predator.
Yeah,
and the I've original, seen,
1987.
I thought you were supposed to know all this kind of stuff, Tom.
Well, maybe I do.
Well, why are you asking
me? I said 1987?
Yeah.
Yeah.
June 12th, 1987.
June 12th, yeah.
Who directed it?
John McTiernan.
Okay, nice. And I've also seen AVP.
Aliens versus Predator or Aliens versus Predator Requiem?
I never saw Requiem. The first one left such a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Tom, take it away. Classic Tom topic.
Predator. Boy, the Predator.
Is it the Predator? Is it Predators?
I don't like this recent trend in movies where so now there are three Predator movies that are named Predator, Predators, and the Predator.
Well,
it's like, come on, guys.
Here's the thing. Alien perfected it with Alien and then Aliens.
But that always confused me as a kid.
Yeah, but that was cool.
Yeah.
And also, if they just made those two movies,
right,
that would be really interesting. And nowadays...
And they were like, then the next one's going to be Alien 3, but get this, we'll make it like the cube symbol.
Is that what happened? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, if they did a Alien and then Aliens now on the marketing.
Aliens now. That's
No. Nowadays.
Predator now. I'd go see that movie.
Hey, you got it. It's captured the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
The
new modern day Predator.
They'd make the S in the Aliens on the Aliens poster look like a 2.
Yeah, they'd do some silly shit. Suck. They wouldn't trust everybody to understand. Yeah. They'd be like, the same movie again.
But you like that when they did with Alien and Aliens.
Yeah.
And then you like...
No, I didn't. Because when they did it, I was a kid and I was like, wait a minute. Is this one movie or two movies?
Is this Coca-Cola or Dr. Pepper? What am I doing here?
Well, it was mostly is this one movie or two movies that I'm not supposed to be able to see and that will scare the hell out of me when I watch them?
Yeah.
Which they both did.
I got bored when I watched Aliens as a kid.
Well, you weren't paying attention.
I wasn't. I was a crap kid. A friend of mine's dad rented it and was trying to watch it for himself, and I was sleeping over his house, my friend's house. It was his dad's house. His dad was his mom and dad right. bought the house, but I was probably 8 when that movie came out.
Yeah,
it was a new release when he
new
rented
to video.
It. Yeah. And I just talked the whole time, did a bunch of bits.
Oh.
I must have thought
Wait,
I was...
Wait, Aliens?
Yeah, I must have thought I was so cute.
Man, if I were the age I am now trying to... And Aliens just came out. I'm like, finally, the VHS of Aliens. Some 8-year-old was trying to wisecrack through all of it.
I'm telling you, I often see this man, my friend's dad.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't like me.
And I understandably.
Think, like, I think if I had the chance to like plead my case as a 36-year-old man, like, hey, I'm cool now. Like, yeah. I'm not that shitty.
Let's go watch Aliens.
8-year-old that tried to do bits while you were just trying to watch a movie. For like, ugh. Christ, I just wanted to, like, I can't go to the movies and see a movie. My wife doesn't want to see it, obviously. Yeah. And I can't bring my son. I'll just bring I'll bring it into our house to make everybody watch it. This kid will fucking wisecrack the whole time.
But it's like an R-rated movie. Why didn't he tell you, like, hey, why don't you and your friend go screw off for...
Well, there's the thing, because it was a sleepover. It's Friday night. What else are we going to do? Yeah. Not watch TV? There's only one TV. Mm. They didn't have cable in the house. But, you know, like, he would always just rent, like, whatever new movie he wanted to see.
Yeah.
And we watch it. Bordello of... Tales from the Crypt, Bordello of Blood.
Yeah, Dennis Miller's finest work.
Yeah, Dennis Miller wisecracking in a movie where just a bunch of zombies and naked ladies.
Who is this? A bunch of naked zombies? Babe? That's my Dennis Miller.
Yeah, that's good. Anyway, watch that.
Okay.
Aliens. He made us watch Lonesome Dove one time. That was bad. Anyway.
What was that? Was like a CBS?
It was a mini series based on, I think it's a Larry McMurtry book. Murtry? Larry McMurtry. Come on, Bing.
Tim's trying to Bing the name. Bing doesn't know everything. Tim, let me read to you the synopsis of Predator.
Okay.
This is such a good synopsis. And like, you could...
McMurtry. Still with us. He's a novelist. He's 82 years old. Lives out in Wichita Falls, Texas.
You spell that M-C-M-E-R-T-R-E-E?
You got it so wrong.
Like an underwater tree?
It's L-A-R-R-Y.
Okay. Looking at like the tagline, not the taglines, I guess like the synopsis, the plot lines, the log lines of each of these movies, you can tell like how much better the first one is than all the rest, because all the rest have like such long involved plot synopsis. This is the one sentence synopsis for Predator. An elite paramilitary rescue team led by Major Dutch is on a covert operation in Central America when they encounter an alien who hunts them for sport.
That's it. There's
That's
no
a fantastic movie right there. Like you walk into any studio in Hollywood and you tell them, I got an idea for a movie. Here it is. Spot in the room.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I got nothing else to say. I enjoyed that movie and I don't like movies like that.
Yeah.
You know what I enjoyed about it?
What's that?
Didn't tell you anything about the Predators.
Like, no.
At some point, like in the beginning or at the end, mm-hmm. you see that it like it's an alien.
Mm-hmm.
Is it at the end? They like show us like, a shot of space.
In the very beginning, you see the aircraft, the like spaceship landing or like falling down to Earth,
and that's it.
Yeah.
And then it's just like an invisible thing that's hunting beefcakes.
Yeah, all the beefcakes, they don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And like they actually don't even like spend that much time speculating because they're just like, doesn't matter. This thing's trying to kill us. We have to kill it. Like it doesn't matter where it came from, what it is.
What do they say? If it bleeds, it leads?
No, if it bleeds, we can kill it.
Yeah.
This movie has a bunch of one-liners about blood.
Yeah. If it bleeds, it leads, they say. If it bleeds, it leads. That's my Arnold.
No.
If anybody was concerned that a jet was taking off in the studio, I don't know what that was, but we heard it too. You're not going crazy.
Yeah. Not if it bleeds. If it bleeds, we can kill it. I ain't got time to bleed.
Who says that?
Governor Jesse the Body Ventura, Jesse the Mind Ventura.
Yeah.
And which I'll get into in a sec, but
Shane Black is an actor in this movie.
I'm about to get into that.
Okay,
and that's what's going to lead me into this.
Sorry. Hey, and if it bleeds, it leads, right?
Right. I'm about to bleed into this.
Yeah.
Very underrated when Jesse Ventura says, I ain't got time to bleed. It's Shane Black's character who Hawkins, I think it is, who tells him like, hey,
Rick Hawkins,
he's
yes.
like, hey, Major, you're bleeding. And he says, I ain't got time to bleed. Very understated. Right after that, Shane Black just goes, oh, okay.
Because that's what you would do. You somebody says something like that, you want to be yeah, polite,
right? But at the same time, you're like, all right, buddy, I'm gonna go see what the other guys are up to now. Yeah, so Shane Black, who directed the new The Predator movie that right. is out now.
He also wrote the Lethal Weapon movies.
Last Action Hero?
Yeah, Last Boy Scout. He wrote the last duology.
Yes.
The Long Kiss Goodnight.
Iron Man 3. He wrote, I believe, directed The Nice Guys, which I've been trying to get you to watch forever.
Yeah, it's one of those
fantastic.
Movies that I know that I'd like, but also like, stop trying to get me to watch this movie. I'm never going to watch it.
It's such a good movie. It's so much fun. Anyway, yeah, so Shane Black wasn't an actor at the time. He was like a new screenwriter. And
but he's like a nerd, right? In the movie, he's a nerd.
Kind of.
Can we go through all the people in it?
I would love to. I would love nothing more.
Alan Dutch Schaefer.
Yeah.
Which is the worst name to give Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Dutch?
Yeah, just Alan Dutch Schaefer.
Nobody ever calls him Alan Schaefer in the movie. We have to get Alan Schaefer in on this. No, they say we need to get Dutch.
Yeah. And then he meets up with Carl Weathers, who plays George Dillon.
Yeah.
And
also
they,
known as just Dillon.
Yeah. They do that that handshake that's really...
The handshake heard around the world.
Yeah, what is that? They were trying to prove dominance?
Well, they were meeting for the first time in a while. They were glad to see each other.
But also...
So they slap hands, but then when they, as they're slapping hands and their muscles are glistening...
Yeah, how'd they get all wet? How'd their biceps get all wet?
Well,
it was just a jungle and they were
hot?
Yeah,
they are in... They're supposed to be in South America, so I think it's just like, yeah, it's super hot and humid. Everybody's sweating. The muscles are always glistening down here.
In South America, everybody's always sweaty?
Yeah, and glistening.
I didn't know that.
Tom,
did I tell you how good I've gotten at the South American map in Central America?
Who gives a shit?
Fair point. I got an app. I've learned all.
I got an app to learn all the countries.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a fun game, and I'm expanding my mind.
It's a fun game.
It is.
Are you going to go down there and visit any of these countries?
Yeah, eventually. Once I learn.
Once I learn where they are, for God's sakes.
Do you know where Suriname is, Tom?
I didn't even know that was a country.
Oh, well.
Is it a country?
It is.
Where is it?
South America.
All right. Hey, the app's working. No, they slap hands and they do like a little arm wrestling. And the point of it, Tim, is because Dutch is trying to prove to Dillon that the CIA has him pushing too many pencils. He's too busy pushing pencils instead of pumping iron.
Right. Which is what Arnold was doing, as evidenced from the film Pumping Iron.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anna Gonsalves.
Yeah, she's the woman in the movie who has seen The Predator.
Yeah, she's the only one of the main cast that was also in Predator 2.
Mm-hmm. And she's barely in Predator 2. She like appears on a TV screen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it just a clip from Predator 1?
No.
When
but
the
like
gang
you...
is like watching Predator 1 to prepare for fighting the Predator?
No, I think it's like on a TV screen, she's like showing a group like where... Predator 1 happened.
Yeah.
She's not referring to it as Predator 1. This is where Predator 1 happened. Well, you guys know, so you can get ready for Predator 2, which I think is happening now.
Or is about to happen.
Yeah. Who's next on the list?
Jorge Pancho Ramirez.
Yeah. That's Sonny Landham, right?
Nope. Richard Chavez.
Oh, yeah. Billy is Sonny.
Yeah. I don't know who any of these guys are. Mac Elliott is played by Bill Duke.
Yeah, Bill Duke. I mean, he's an 80s action icon.
Is he?
Yeah. Once you see a picture of Bill Duke, you'd be like, oh, that guy.
He's from Poughkeepsie. I know that much.
That's all I knew. He never mentioned that he's in movies.
Huh? He was in Exit Wounds.
He was in a lot. I can't remember. He was in Commando,
I
think.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Jesse, Governor Jesse the Mind Ventura was Blaine Cooper.
Yeah. One of the great things about this movie is they all have awesome names.
What makes Blaine a
Nobody call Tim. They're all tough guys. They don't call each other by their first names.
If I have a son, his first and middle name will be Blaine Cooper. And I bet you he gets his ass kicked at school. But that's mostly because he's my son.
Right.
And I'll just be like, just curl into a ball. If anybody comes up to you and says something mean, get in the fetal position.
That's mostly because he'll be my son, and I plan on sending him to the school that all of my enemies' sons go to.
Yeah, School of Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
Make a little Blaine Jr. into a man.
Blaine Cooper Jr. I think they just call him Cooper in the movie.
Like Mr. Cooper?
Yeah.
This is before Hanging
with Mr. Cooper, though. Yeah.
Rick Hawkins, Shane Black, and Homer L. Phillips by R.G. Armstrong, played by.
Wait, you mentioned Sonny, or you did?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay. That guy's a maniac. He's dead now.
Sonny Landham?
Yeah. During the production of the movie,
he was a stuntman. Whenever they cast a stuntman into an actor's role, you know shit's going down. Because it's like, look, there's so many stunts this guy has to do.
Yeah.
They hired just a stuntman, a guy who can't even act.
Yeah, well, but apparently they had to hire a bodyguard. The studio hired a bodyguard for him, but the bodyguard's job was to protect everybody else from him. And everybody else is fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger and Carl Weathers and Jesse Ventura. So imagine a studio being like, I'm worried about those guys.
Was it just like a man with a gun?
I think so. Something like that. Maybe there's somebody to always keep an eye on him so he couldn't like sneak up on anyone.
I'd like to have that reputation. I mean, look, I can't ever become a muscle man, Tom. You know this.
Right.
Because if I become a muscle man... Mm-hmm. I have such rage inside me that I would kill anybody that crossed me, anybody that like walked into a subway before I could get out of the subway. I'd like snap their necks.
Yeah, you'd pick them up and bring them down over your knee, breaking them in half.
Exactly, like Doomsday did to Superman. Yeah.
It was Bane did it to Batman. He broke his back. I guess Doomsday did to Superman.
It's the only comic I ever read, Tom. The death of Superman.
But he didn't break his back.
And many Gru comics.
When Bane did, he broke his back.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know from Bane, Tom. Unless we're talking Bane Capital, in which count me in. I'd like to get rich. Put dollar signs in my eyes, Tom.
So I was looking up some of this other stuff about Sonny Landham. Because I was like, wait a minute, he was so unstable. They like hired a bodyguard. Like, all right, there has to be like more to this guy. He tried to become the third Predator actor to be governor. He ran for governor of Kentucky. He was like a one issue voter, but he picked one issue candidate. He was going after one issue voters.
Mm-hmm.
But he, like, I think grossly overestimated how many people would be interested in this issue. And I don't know the specifics of it, but it was basically an amendment that was being made to Kentucky Family Court that he opposed. And he was like, screw this. I'm running for governor just to get rid of this amendment. And the reason why he was so familiar with Kentucky Family Court was because he was married 5 times.
Okay. A lot of families.
He had also, prior to this, spent 3 years in prison for making threatening and obscene phone calls to his wife.
Nice.
So they sent him to prison for 3 years. Go ahead.
To his current wife?
No. This must have been a few wives earlier.
Okay.
He's no longer with us, Sonny.
Sorry. Sorry to hear that.
You might not
sorry
be
to the
sorry.
Landham, clan.
You might not be sorry after I finish reading the last fact about him, which was...
Wait, what was his one issue?
It was about this amendment. I don't know what the actual...
Oh, I thought it'd be like, yeah, you should be allowed to kill your wife.
I imagine it probably had something to do with, like, what...
Family court really frowns upon killing your wife, and I'd like to do this.
Or even just calling her up and telling her you're going to kill her.
Yeah.
They'll send you to jail for that. On his Wikipedia page, it mentions, like, in his bio, yeah, it's like a few sentences... background, because he was part Native American, and he's playing like a Native American character in the Predator movie. And then also mention that he is of Jewish heritage. I'm reading that, I'm not really paying attention, but then I was looking for another article at the bottom, you know, in the footnotes on Wikipedia, and I noticed that, like, you know, he is of Jewish heritage was like a, you know, footnote 3. The headline to footnote 3 was, Sonny Landham calls for genocide of all Arabs and Muslims. It's like, you really buried the lead here on, like, oh, we found out from this article he's Jewish.
And he hates everyone who's not.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And, like, reading, it was a transcript from a Republican primary debate.
where he called for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Outright. It was post 9/11. And he was like, nope. The president said, like, you're either with us or against us. And people were like, and like the other candidates were trying to hedge, like, oh, sir, I take issue with, like, you using those kinds of names. And then,
did,
like,
you just call them cucks, Tom?
What? No.
Okay.
What did I say that sounded like that? they're like, oh, we have issue with you using, because he was like using slurs.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, oh, if you have a problem with that, no problem. I'll just call them. And they use like other slurs. But yeah, don't worry. The debate stayed civil from there.
Sonny Landham, we lost him too soon.
So also during this filming of Predator, you got all these beefcakes, right?
Yeah.
I defy you to name a movie with more beefcakes.
Magic Mike XXL.
Magic Mike didn't take place in the South American jungle.
Yeah, so everybody wasn't sweaty.
Yeah.
But they were greased up, oiled up.
These guys were all oiled up, too. They just said it was sweat.
Yeah, that's true.
But they were all hyper-competitive with each other and would all secretly... They would wake up before everybody else to work out a lot of them would wake up at 3 a.m. hoping to beat everybody else because they wanted to be the most pumped up looking guy on set that day.
Wouldn't you? If you were a beefcake.
Yeah.
And you were in, like, that's how that was your identity.
Yeah.
Right? That's how you felt you related to the world. Mm-hmm. Then suddenly... So all these other beefcakes.
Usually you're on a set, you know, when Arnold Schwarzenegger made Terminator, he was only beefcake
you're the
for
freak
Miles.
Show on the set.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, look at the freak.
Yeah.
This, you got to out-freak everybody else.
Yeah, including the guy that they have to hire a bodyguard to keep everybody else safe.
To keep from killing the Arabs.
Carl Weathers told everyone that he didn't need to work out, that all of his musculature was natural, and then he would work out in secret when nobody else was around.
That's a good tactic.
It's just such like a weird maniac thing. And like apparently this entire shoot was like, unbelievably hellish. Like, it was super hot during the day.
Also, there was an invisible predator running around killing people.
Yeah, to say nothing of the invisible predator running around killing people.
Okay, let's wrap this up. Predator 1. At the end of the movie, they kill the predator? Or they wound the predator?
Arnold has him, like, pinned down.
And then what happens?
And then...
You never actually see the predator.
No, you
see him. Until he's, like... very badly wounded, right?
No. Basically, the Predator code of honor is that they will decloak, like when it's one-on-one. That's like a show of respect. You know, when it's like, well, there's a lot of guys around. I'm going to stay invisible.
So everybody's
They're
been
introverts.
Killed. I don't recall. Is everybody except Arnold killed?
Yes.
Even
and the girl's not.
Right, because she comes back. The girl. The one girl in the movie.
I don't think they know her name in the movie. She speaks Spanish, and none of them... Hawkins speaks Spanish, but he's the first one killed.
Right.
Yeah, well, so the Predator decloaks to take on Arnold, and then he takes off the mask, and that's when he says, "You're one ugly mother. You know the rest."
Did they say it, or did it go...
The Predator spits out his drink when he says it, and it conveniently covers the part where he's saying it.
Yeah, so he doesn't kill him, he just maims him.
He has him, like, beaten almost to death, and basically it's like a moment where it's like, you know, I beat you, you know,
you killed all my friends, mercy. You killed all these beefcakes,
yeah,
but I'm not gonna finish you off.
Yeah, I think he like picks up a rock and he's about to smash his head in, but then he's just like, this thing's like wounded, I can't do
foolish.
It I can't do
he'll
it
just come back in the sequel.
Well, no, I'll tell you what he does. He pulls out his wrist communicator and does a few tippity taps on it, and all of a sudden it starts counting down, and the Predator starts going, whoa, 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 whoa. And then Arnold puts two and two together. He's like, "It's a bomb!" And he runs off, and indeed it was. It was a small nuke that went off.
Wow.
So the Predator at the end of the first one is presumably dead, but we don't know that for sure. We don't see him die.
Wow.
But we're pretty sure because Arnold's running away from him as a nuke goes off.
Quite a cliffhanger that will resolve after these weird commercials. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Tom?
Yes.
What's your social battery like right now?
Beep.
Oh.
Boo.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Uh-huh.
Tom, I'll tell you from my perspective, since you're avoiding the question.
Uh-huh.
My social battery feels a little drained right now.
That was what that second sound was.
The getting
but
drained.
I had to do the going up to you, show you the going
down. You gotta
down.
Go up to get down.
That's what my first single's about.
It's weird. I feel kind of drained socially, even though you can attest I don't do much socially.
Yeah, yeah. And you enjoy social things, but
I do.
But
and
it drains you.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It can be very easy to ignore our social battery, which is kind of what I'm doing right now, and spread ourselves thin or just not know kind of like, you know, where the optimal socialization is for
you.
You
want to be a shut-in, but you can't be a party animal.
Yeah. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Mm-hmm. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more time alone. I don't know. Maybe you need a little bit of both. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Tom, we are, as everybody knows, very pro-therapy on this podcast.
Yes.
Anybody can benefit from therapy. It's not just for people, you know, dealing with trauma.
Yeah, or going through tough times.
Yeah, it's helpful for learning positive coping skills and setting boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, Tom. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, like you, Tom. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/complete guide today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/complete guide.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there, and you know what? You can update it with an app, so every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Tim, here's...
more about Predator 1.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Predator, man. That's the name of the episode. Well, no. I haven't seen the new movie.
Here's the messed up thing, Tom. What? Predator, you got Arnold Schwarzenegger and Carl Weathers.
Yeah.
And a murderer's row.
In some cases, literally.
And then they get nobody except for Elpidia Carrillo back for the second one.
Yeah.
So who do they get? Freaking Danny Glover and Gary Busey?
Yeah.
And
just when he thought he was too old for this shit. And Shane Black had nothing to do with that. And presumably Shane Black is buddies with Danny Glover.
Also, did you call him Dan Glover?
Danny Glover.
Okay.
Dan. Like you've been I call him Dan.
Yeah.
Daniel.
Bill Paxton's in this movie?
Yeah. Bill Paxton, the only actor who's been killed by a Predator, an alien, and a Terminator.
Freaking Morton Downey Jr.'s in that movie?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
And Morton Downey Jr.,
ooh,
the weirdest guy who ever lived.
Yeah.
A bad man.
When I was a kid,
who's
I thought...
Who's worse, Morton Downey Jr. or Sonny Landham?
When I was a kid, I thought Robert Downey Jr. was Morton Downey Jr.'s son.
Yeah, of course. Everybody thought that.
It really didn't make sense. I was like, how are they both Jr.? I don't know, but they kind of looked similar.
Yeah. Anyway, you wanted to talk more... Look, you just said that the Predator 1 was the only worthwhile one. I think there's some good people in both movies.
Oh, absolutely.
And not Morton Downey Jr.
And there are good moments in Predator 2. I actually really like the idea of having, I mean, Danny Glover is basically playing his character from Lethal Weapon in Predator 2. But like, I kind of like that idea of like, yeah, there's like an NYPD detective that's just kind of like, what? What the hell am I up against here?
Predator?
So they've been trying to get Arnold back for every single Predator movie.
Yeah, but joke's on them. He only does great movies.
Well, no, because he told them he would be back, and they took him at his word.
Yeah. He said it more than once.
Yeah, and they're all like, nope. Guys, I just saw the latest Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. There was a specific call out to us telling us he would be back.
He wasn't... the sex criminal that they cast in the newest movie?
No.
Okay. I was a little confused because I know that they had a sex criminal in the new movie.
They cut his scene.
Okay.
The sex criminal scene, which we'll get to later.
Will they?
No, they wanted Arnold in every single one of these movies. And actually, honestly, like a lot of them, he was like, I don't think he was even necessarily at the script wasn't that good. He was like, there's not enough for me to do. I think he was more or less like, no, give me like $30 million and have me star in this.
Right.
And none of them wanted to do that. Maybe Predator 2, I think originally like the first.
Oh, I like the idea that suddenly
Arnold's
getting real picky when the Predator people come sniffing around. He's like, you know, it's gotta be quality. That guy's been in garbage movie after garbage movie for 30 years.
I mean, Terminator alone, he's been in like, you know, four garbage Terminator movies, and they're making another one right now in Hungary.
Yeah, I almost donated to a anti-gerrymandering thing to fly to Budapest and meet Arnold on the set.
What a thrill. God, if you won that, I'd be so jealous.
I would do that. I was considering like... because it's one of those things where donate money, and the more you donate, the more chances you get to win. I was going to sink, like, I was going to take out a line of credit and put in, like, $25,000.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't have won, but if I won...
Probably still wouldn't have been worth $25,000.
No, to, like, meet Arnold Schwarzenegger for, like, two seconds and you being like, cool picture.
Yeah, and be like, okay, I have to go fight the other Terminators.
Here's what I would do, though. Sucker punch him. If you meet Arnold Schwarzenegger and you don't sucker punch him.
Why? He's an old man now. Don't sucker punch him. And also, Tim, I have... No confusion that if you did that, he would turn around and just pummel you into fucking...
No, he wouldn't.
Chop meat.
If I sucker punched him, he wouldn't do a goddamn thing to him.
Like he wouldn't even feel it? He would swat away like, there must be flies on the set.
Yeah.
No, that would probably make you even more mad. No, it wasn't a fly, Arlo, it was me.
Stab him. I brought this knife.
I brought a switchblade. They've tried to get him back.
I don't know why I want to hurt Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, a man you love so much.
I mean, I don't like him that much. He was always on videos in gym class when I was a kid doing
telling you to work harder.
Yeah, I was like, it's because of this man that I have to run the mile.
Yeah, this man thinks somehow running a mile is going to turn me into him.
Yeah, and it didn't.
There's still time.
Should I do steroids, Tom?
What?
Should I do steroids?
We've talked about this, that both of us should take steroids and become just like huge monsters.
Yeah, right? That would be fun.
Yeah, it'd be a good bit.
Yeah.
In the next live show, if we showed up, we couldn't even fit through the door.
We have a year until the next time we do the London Bucket. Yeah. Unless something has gone terribly wrong a couple days ago. Right. We're recording this before our London shows. Maybe we... caused such an uproar.
An international incident.
So far, the Queen is still alive.
Right.
I'm always afraid before our London shows, Queen's going to die and they're just going to cancel all the events.
Yeah.
And we're going to be shit out of luck. We've bought our plane tickets and our hotel rooms. What are we going to do? Just party in London?
Like, no, we wouldn't. We'd have to mourn.
Oh, yeah. Do they close all the pubs?
Yeah, they probably close everything.
I mean, the pubs are pretty sad anyway.
Right. So maybe they'd only keep the real sad ones open. They'd be like, you can go here because it's a good place to be sad.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, but yeah, we should get super ripped.
When the queen dies?
No, it could be anytime.
Oh, not ripped drunk.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we showed up at the next live show, ripped, riddled with acne.
But here's the thing. How bad could steroids be? Sly Stallone is freaking, 70 years old?
Yeah.
And he's ripped. He's obviously on steroids. And he's going strong.
No, Arnold, I mean, he says he doesn't use them anymore. But, like, he used them a lot early in his career because they weren't illegal yet.
Yeah. I think, kids, if you're listening, don't do it. This is not what the Reddit's going to be. It's boner pills and telling people to do steroids.
Sorry, we're trying to make everybody cool.
Yeah.
God.
Jesus Christ. We're trying to make you sex monsters. And we're trying to make you rich by betting.
Speaking of sex monsters, that's a bad... Van Damme was the original Predator. Did you know that?
No, I thought Kevin Peter Hall was.
Kevin Peter Hall became the Predator, but Jean-Claude Van Damme was the first Predator in a completely different costume.
A sex pest?
No, that wasn't the costume. The costume was kind of like a dog with grasshopper legs.
That would have made a bad movie. Is this like a Jaws situation where they realized that the effects were so bad that they just had to cut out the effects as much as possible?
Kind of. So what happened was they hired Jean-Claude Van Damme because they were like, this guy's hot. The muscles from Brussels. He's going to be very, quick and elegant and nimble as an alien, and that's going to make it look scary. But the costume, so it had grasshopper legs, like the backward legs, like a dog has.
Mm-hmm.
and like it just didn't work right. Like they couldn't really move in it. It looked like shit. There are a lot of, I do get mad. There are videos online of this thing and people are like, this looks like total garbage. But the videos are usually, it's an all red suit, which was how they did the optical camouflage. Like that was not what it was going to look like on film. When they did the optical camouflage of the Predator, they used like an all red suit as well.
Hmm.
But anyway,
with the dreadlocks, did this dog man costume have dreadlocks?
No, it looked completely different.
Can I tell you something real quick?
Sure.
I was at the Jim Henson exhibit at the Museum of the Moving Image a couple days ago.
How often do you go there? Do they add stuff to it?
No, it's the same. Actually, there's less stuff than the last time I went. But there is this little kid there and his dad was trying to get this loud little kid into stuff. And he saw there was Rolf, the puppet, mm-hmm. yeah. the piano playing dog.
Yeah.
And like the kid running through the exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
It's an exhibit of all Jim Henson's like
puppets
and stuff and his life's work.
Which was puppets.
Not entirely, Tom. You should go see this. Do you want to go? I go two or three times a week. Yeah. The dad was trying to get the kid into Muppets, and this is not a good way to do it, right?
Yeah.
Bring him to a museum. Yeah. But he's like, hey, come back. Come look at this. This is a very famous Muppet.
Mm-hmm.
He's pointing to Rolf, this big Rolf exhibit, and this kid goes, oh, Dog Guy? I love Dog Guy. And then that wasn't his name.
Man, what a little punk.
Yeah.
Set him straight.
I kicked his ass.
Nice.
Beat the shit out of that kid.
Punched him like he was Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Made me feel like a real big man.
Yeah, he had a kid who thought Rolf's name was Dog Guy.
He's
so excited about Dog Guy, though. This isn't my story. It was somebody that I was with. But it was very funny. There's a whole big Sesame Street exhibit.
Uh-huh.
And again, I didn't hear this, but somebody I was with heard it. There was a girl that walked in, mm-hmm. a woman that walked in, and it was all the Sesame Street Muppets and stuff.
Yeah.
And this woman goes like to her boyfriend or whatever who was there with him. She's like, oh my God. No, you don't understand. Like, I used to watch this show when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like, I saw this. Like, these characters. I saw this. Like, whenever I'd go to my dad's office, they'd play this show for me. It's fucking Sesame Street. What do you think everybody's there for, you idiot?
She'd just been thawed from the ice from...
Yeah, she was like, oh, my God. Yeah, like, I'm the only... Like, no. Like, this is a thing.
This is crazy.
Yeah, like, oh, my God. I never thought I'd see this again.
Yeah.
An idiot. I'm so mad all the time at everybody.
This wasn't even somebody you saw.
No, I heard it secondhand. And we were eating a meal afterwards. I stuck a knife so hard into the table that they asked us to leave. They couldn't get the knife out.
So the Van Damme costume wasn't working. And also, presumably, Van Damme was being like a real piece of shit to work with like he always is.
Yeah.
So they fired him. And they... This is kind of crazy. They shot for 6 weeks and then they shut down production for 8 months and then picked back up and filmed the last 4 weeks. The costume.
For 8 months?
Yeah. The costume just wasn't working. And Arnold was like, you know, I just did a movie called The Terminator with Stan Winston. We should get Stan Winston to do The Predator. So they were like, all right, we'll call Stan Winston up. And apparently,
Stan Winston did the Terminator.
Yeah,
like gears and stuff.
the robot, yes. The
trying to think what Stan Winston
exoskeleton.
Because like in the original Terminator, there's not that much.
What that was all puppets and stop motion and everything when
what
he was
mean?
Like the Terminator, like when
he
his
was
skin
very, he was very infrequently the Terminator.
No, but like his skin gets ripped off at one point, and you see that you see.
Oh, I thought that was a real Terminator.
You see, a lot of people thought that, and then like
I guess Stan Winston's pretty good.
The last scene, the Terminator, it's all stop motion. It's just the endoskeleton.
Yeah, it looks like a freaking Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, if you ask me.
Well, but with red eyes, not a red nose. So they were like, yeah, we'll get Sam Winston. Apparently Sam Winston was working on this while he was on a plane with James Cameron. James Cameron was like, you know what I've always wanted a robot to have?
Wait, they were on a plane?
Yeah.
So much stuff happens because people happen to be on the same flight.
Yeah. And like they weren't coincidentally on the same flight. I think they were like on their way to Japan for like the Terminator premiere or whatever.
Oh, that makes sense.
And
they knew each other.
Yeah. And he knew, James Cameron knew him from the same place Arnold Schwarzenegger did.
The Terminator.
Yeah.
Yeah, the movie they all worked on together. Right. This makes sense. Okay,
but apparently James Cameron was like, you know if I always want to see on a monster is mandibles. And
man nipples,
mandibles.
Oh.
You know, so he's like, all right, I'll throw him on this guy, the Predator. And yeah, he was played.
Jim Cameron came up with that.
Yeah.
And he like, you should set it thousands of feet under the sea.
No, James Cameron apparently is like very loose with ideas. Like if he has a suggestion for somebody, like he gives it to him and isn't like, make me a fucking producer on it.
Hmm.
He's just like, yeah, here's a idea. I had mandibles.
That's why everybody talks about what a nice man he is.
But yeah, so what's the name of the actor that took over?
Kevin Peter Hall.
Yeah.
And
you know,
Peter Cullen did the voice.
Yes. Do you know... who else Kevin Hall played?
Maxwell Smart on the 60s TV
no.
show Get Smart.
No, Tim, he played Harry from Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh, yes, he did.
7'2", this guy. And he guest starred on Night Court as a huge but gentle mental patient who humorously towered over Bailiff Bull Shannon.
Someone taller than Bull, that yeah. I gotta see. He was also on 227.
He was on a bunch of stuff. He was...
He passed away, sadly.
Yeah.
Of tall man's disease.
No, he got AIDS through a blood transfusion.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he died of AIDS-related pneumonia.
Oof.
Glad you think that's
terrible.
Such a funny joke, Tim.
I don't think that was very funny, actually.
He was...
Oh, my God. He was younger than me when he passed away.
Yeah.
Really makes you think about my mortality, huh?
What was the other role he was up for? He was up for something, not just because he was 7'2". Some iconic role.
Hmm.
It didn't go to him. But I mean, the Predator.
Big Top Pee-wee? Big John?
No, the Predator and Harry and the Hendersons, though. That's pretty iconic.
Yeah.
I wonder if any of the beefcakes on set were afraid of him because he was so tall.
Probably not. I bet Sonny Landham tried to fucking murder him.
And he couldn't see out of the mask, so he had to like memorize everything with the mask off, and then they would put the mask on him.
See, this is where I'm confused. I don't remember the Predator being in the movie at all.
He was in the movie.
Mostly invisible.
He's right there in the title. Yeah, but at the end, he's not invisible.
For like... what, a minute and a half?
No, for like a good chunk of the movie. And like there are parts in between where like you don't get a great look at him, but he's decloaked like up in the trees, like checking out the skulls he's got. And you see like over his shoulder, you see like, you know, like, he's wearing like netting. He's wearing like a fishnet suit and he's got like clammy looking lizard skin.
I don't really recall. Tom, I got a question.
Yeah. The bubbling sound was inspired by a mixture of the visual of the creature and a recollection of a dying horseshoe crab.
Whose recollection?
The Cullen, the guy who did the voice.
Oh. They replaced him in Predator 2.
Yeah.
Hal Rail. Tom.
Mm-hmm.
So is this some sort of sick joke? 20 years after Predator 2.
Yeah.
There's these two movies that have beefcakes all over them.
Uh-huh.
In 2010, they make Predators, and they cast Adrian Brody and Topher Grace, the two freaking anti-beefcakes.
No, Adrian Brody's pretty beefy in this movie.
What?
Yeah, he takes his shirt off, and you're like, wow, he got beefed up for this.
I can see him getting cut, but not beefy.
No, he got beefy. He's actually not as cut as you would think. He's pretty cut in it. But I mean, I'm sure he used steroids to do that. We should talk to him.
Yeah.
And I think Topher Grace, his character, it's like one of those characters that in the being, the spoiler.
All these movies have one woman in them.
Yeah. Well, they're beefcake movies, Tim. They're for women go to the movies and they ogle the beefcakes. They soak
no
in the eye candy.
No woman wants to go see Predator.
Yeah, they go and they're like, wow, look at, yeah, Carl Weathers just got one of his arms blasted off, but look at how ripped he is.
Yeah.
Look at how oiled up he is. Yeah, there are not very many women in the Predator movies, no. Which is lucky for them, because a lot of the people...
Because women are dealing with predators in everyday life, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and this particular Predator kills a lot of the people he comes across.
So they cast a sex offender as the Predator in the new Predator movie?
No, apparently there was a scene with a registered sex offender where he is like catcalling Olivia Munn's character. And then I guess afterwards, Olivia Munn found out he was a registered sex offender and was
and
like,
a friend of Shane Black's.
Yeah, right? Yeah, a friend of Shane Black's who he's cast in a few different things.
Right.
And Shane Black's, like, you know, he apologized, of course, and they cut the scene. But his thing was like, yeah, I was like misled about the like actual thing that happened. Like, I didn't know it was like a child thing.
I mean,
so
you know, any kind of sex offender, be it a child or an adult,
oh,
should
yeah.
not be cast in a movie just
right.
because he's friends with Shane Black.
No, and like the other people in the scene should be told. Like, if sure, if everybody in the movie's okay with it, that's one thing. But, you know, they weren't told because obviously most people would not be okay with that.
This movie is star-studded.
The new one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Jacob Tremblay.
It's apparently also very bad.
As a little boy, Olivia Munn as a disgruntled science teacher and a woman who regrets being in the movie because a sex predator is in it.
Yeah.
Sterling K. Brown.
Yeah.
Keegan-Michael Key.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas Jane from the penis show on
Hung.
Yeah, on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Busey as the son of Gary Busey.
Yeah, a role he was born to play.
More ways than one. And Brian A. Prince. And introducing Brian A. Prince as the Predator. I wonder if he's another tall man.
Probably. Apparently this new Predator, they've got like an even taller Predator.
Wow. They're innovating.
Yeah, that's how they're... I don't know. Stuff like that's stupid. These are things I don't like.
What, that the Predator keeps getting taller?
Don't make taller Predators.
Because you're afraid of tall
look,
people.
Look, he's scary enough as it is. You need to make him 15 feet tall.
Yeah.
And I don't like in these movies when they make the Predator into a good guy. Just have him be a bad guy. The Predators are real pieces of shit, let me tell you.
They're toying with mankind.
Yeah, but people are always like, oh, but like they have a code of honor, like, because like in Predator 2.
Yeah, the same way freaking those people that like kill elephants are just like, yeah, I'll use this,
no,
this
it's,
machine
it's
gun,
even worse but... than that, because like in Predator 2, they make a point of like he sees through thermal vision that like a woman's pregnant and he leaves her alone.
Right.
Like there are a lot of parts in that, you know, he decloaks when it's one-on-one, and like against Arnold, he takes...
Because it's all a game to these,
yeah,
sickos.
He takes off all of his armor and everything. But the thing that doesn't even make them honorable is like, yeah, and then when they lose, they fucking nuke the whole place.
Yeah.
They're sore true. Losers.
Sore losers.
They're sanctimonious pieces of shit, these Predators. I'm sick of it.
If you like the show, go to tcgte.com for all the things. And Tom will tell you more.
You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/completeguide. You can follow us on Twitter, @completeguide. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram, @TomReynolds. And you can follow Tim on those things, @YourPalTim.
Yeah, sorry, I was looking at Twitter.
You can also support our sponsors if that's something you'd like to do. You can check out our Patreon at tcgte.com/pledge for a bunch of fun stuff like weekly mini episodes. And tcgte.com/Amazon for your normal, everyday Amazon shopping. Did you know that Predator 2 was initially the first movie rated NC-17?
Was it very sexy?
It was very violent. so much violence that they made it NC-17. But then they were like, oh, no, we don't want this to be the first NC-17 movie. We'll cut out a couple of, you know, beheadings or whatever.
Violence didn't actually get you NC-17.
I don't know. Do you know some of the people the Predator has fought in comic books, Tim?
Batman.
He's fought Batman. He's fought aliens. He's fought Terminators.
Mm-hmm.
He's fought Superman. He's fought the Justice League of America, Judge Dredd, Tarzan.
Everybody?
And Archie Andrews.
What?
Yeah.
Did he win?
The Predator won, yes.
Okay, so Archie died.
Yeah.
Phew.
The Predator went after Veronica. He no, not that in that way. He wanted to kill Veronica.
No, I was just like, she's tough. I wouldn't take. I'd rather fight Archie than Veronica.
You know why he was trying to kill Veronica?
To get her dad's fortune?
No, the Predator has no use for money.
I don't know.
No, you idiot! It's because he turned out he had a crush on Betty.
Huh.
The Predator.
What and is getting Veronica out of the way?
Because he saw them fighting and he was like, oh, they don't like each other. I know what will impress Betty. I'll kill Veronica.
It'd be weird if Betty was like, now I'm dating the Predator because he freaking murdered a lady.
That's how it ends.
Really?
It ends with Veronica like almost dies. And when she wakes up, Betty had used like a machine to like heal her. And Betty was in the process of using that machine on the Predator to make him look like Archie.
Comic books are fucking stupid.
We'll see you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.